From the House of Representatives, message number 346, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. Vice President, the House adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 2 on House Bill number 194, State-Funded Capital Construction. Ayes 44, noes 12, excused 4. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Senator, Majority Floor Leader, Senator Perkins.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for the joint conference report?
On House Bill 194?
194, message number, whatever, as soon as I find it, 346, joint conference number 2.
Thank you. Mr. Vice President, I move joint conference committee report, reference Senate message number 306 to House Bill 194.
Please have the clerk read that in it.
Joint Conference Committee Report on House Bill 194, State-Funded Capital Construction, reference Senate Message Number 306. Signed, Representatives Nicholas, Larson, and Walters, Senators Perkins and Von Flatern.
Senator, Majority Floor Leader, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move Joint Conference Committee Report to House Bill 194, State-funded capital construction, referencing Senate message number 306, and ask the body to vote aye. As you know, this was the conference that we had was our second committee, our free committee that we put together, and that we came to some agreement on late on Saturday evening, and so we have that bill before us. What we did for the first part. If you look at the first part from on the conference committee report, pages 1 down through all of 2, and then down through the middle of page 3, what those do is those go back into the loan amounts. And so if you remember, there were a couple of loan programs. There was $200 million for municipalities and counties for infrastructure projects. $200 million available for loans for road construction projects, and then another $60 million of loans for repayment. If you remember, we had various discussions about loan loss reserves and what the interest rates on those loans would have been. What we did and what those first three pages do is they make all the loan programs essentially identical programs. And what they are is the minimum interest rate, the minimum loan term will be 5 years with a minimum interest rate of 1%. And then for each year over 5 years that the money is borrowed, the interest rate would increase by 0.075% interest per year for each year up to maturity with a maximum. It tops out at a maximum of 2.5%. All loans would be available of somewhere between 5 to 25 years, the term of maturity within that being determined by the borrower, and so all loans now would have that same amount. In addition, all loans will also have a half a percent loan origination fee, which would be placed in a loan loss reserve. So that's what those were. Then the next one, if you look at page 4, page 3, the 9-4-220, you see there strategic investments and projects accounts. This is the one that was a little bit different than what we had talked about before, and ultimately this is a funds flow that would happen. This would obligate and guarantee. We've talked about those in your favorite topic, SIPA, but the funds flow are in 2021 and after, so they're a number of years out, and that was quite a sticking point. But in the end, that ended up being in the bill. If you go to the middle of page 4, you have the investment policy earnings that you've got there. I think this is also part of the. I think that's also part of the. Of that same thing. And what these do is this. This is a specific allocation of funds into school major maintenance. And so those last two sections deal with kind of specifically allocating money that comes out of the general fund through the spending policy reserve accounts, and that it's allocated directly to major maintenance. At the end of the day, what we did is went back in page, long story short, we ended up putting back in the Casper office building. We ended up putting back in a number of the federal funds projects, which are mostly for the building of armories. Those federal fund projects came back in. There were science initiative was finally settled on at $85 million. So it went from $100 million down to $85 million, and that is released. And there's also language in there that removes the cap, because there was a cap on amount of appropriated funds, and so it removes the cap on appropriated funds so that there's only $85 million of appropriated funds, but they can match their 15 or whatever else they want to spend on it, and the university can move forward on that. You find there the striking, the 24-4 is the balance of the difference between $100 million to the science initiative. The $9,400,000 is mostly, as I understand it, the school Capcon major maintenance account is underwater, and so this makes it so it's no longer underwater, that $9.4 million, and that money was the $9.4 million was actually appropriated as part of the appropriation on school Capcon that was in the budget bill. But this actually puts money in the account. So it's kind of like, what do you call it? Our federal counterparts call it authorization without appropriation. And so this brings authorization and appropriation together so that that was done. So that is done. Then we, I think we, if I remember right, we came back and we dealt with or modified the dorms on UW. There's some modifications to there, we're straightening some deck chairs in that. And then the last one on the governor's residence, we adopted some language on the governor's residence. The amount of money stayed the same. The House actually had some better language regarding how to go about looking the suitability, whether they just improve or harden the governor's residence there, or whether they would, go to another facility. And it requires, particularly in their language, they're supposed to come back with three alternatives. One of the alternatives can be staying there, or if there's other alternatives, we want multiple alternatives to pick from before we proceed on doing anything with the governor's residence on an ongoing or on a long-term basis. And like I say, the appropriation stayed the same. So with that, I think that, from my recollection, is what we did, and would stand for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Majority Floor Leader. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, reluctantly on and against the conference report. Now, I think these are all good projects here. Most of them need to get done eventually. But I remain, Mr. Vice President, quite concerned about the level of spending. And let me see if I can explain that. We were told when we, the other day when we did the budget, that the deficit we're going to come out of this session had risen from $902 million operating deficit to $920 to $925 million. The figure I specifically heard was $922 million. And it's not clear to me how that's affected. There were several of the vetoes in the budget bill that I don't know how it's going to turn out, where the spending was raised. There is uncertainty in my mind as to how this bill was counted in that $922 million. Mr. Vice President, there's uncertainty in my mind as to how the school finance amendment bill that's still out there impacts that figure. And so I'm still having to go on the $920 million deficit. Folks, we started with reserves about $2.1 billion. The rate we're going through, we could do it again next time, although our expenses are growing and growing. Maybe our revenues will grow, maybe they won't. We could get by the next biennium probably. And then we will face just a horrendous cliff. Unless everything goes right. The price of natural gas at Opal goes up, way up. Price of coal goes up with it. Price of oil goes up. We get big capital gains off of Wall Street and our permanent funds. If that doesn't happen, we'll have a massive tax increase. And we'll have a massacre of the state programs. And that's a risk I don't want to take. I think if we did some reasonable things now, we'd be in much better position to deal with what's coming at us in the future. And, Mr. Vice President, capital construction is something you can safely put off when the money's tight. I suspect everybody in this room has done that personally on occasion. Most businesses I know of had to do that. It's the way you deal with this kind of problem. So for that reason, Mr. Vice President, reluctantly, I'm going to vote no on this bill.
Further discussion on House Bill 194, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Folks, I'm going to talk a little bit about the process and capital construction in general, and I hope that you bear it to heart and look at it in the future. When, you know, with 8 years on appropriations, we had a lot of these bills that came across us. And one of the discussions that we had was one of the reasons for capital construction was so we have a relatively healthy, stable construction industry in the state of Wyoming so that the engineers and the architects would get some business and they kind of knew what that was going to be. That we would work our way through these different projects. And things got kind of, I guess, overactive when we had years when we had several billion dollars worth of money to spend that was kind of a gift from heaven during the coal bed methane. But the point I'm getting to is that we never really looked at, I think, asked that question to look at our school projects, look at our state projects, look at our local projects, look at that funding, and look at it as, trying to keep the size relatively linked to our industries supporting construction. And Mr. Vice President, I think it's important when you guys go in the future to rein this in, to look at that, because folks, we got a lot of out-of-state folks coming in here building on these projects. And if we can even them out over the course of the next few years, then and look at that and actually do a study to determine, you know, what's that perfect amount in a range that we should be looking at and putting toward capital construction, I think that we can weather this storm and you'll have a good economy for the construction industry and the supported industries, and we won't have bills that'll come in that look like we're decorating the Christmas trees. And we did that. We're guilty of that in the construction and in schools, and we're guilty of it in this particular bill. There's some really, really good projects in this bill that actually, you know, make the state money, employ people, and then there's a lot of them that are just essentially some Christmas tree things. So, Mr. Vice President, with that, I'm going to have a real hard time voting for this, but I think in the future, pay attention to hopefully looking at these bills in a different way rather than just hanging more ornaments on.
Further discussion on Senator Landon.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. I wasn't necessarily going to rise, but I rise in favor of the bill. With all due respect to my friend from Bates Hole and the good senator from the East, there are a couple things that I thought about the last 3 days with regard to this CapCon bill, because we all knew it was coming. And one, as your Select Committee on School Facilities chair, there is an item in this bill that we didn't send over there, that it came back to us as some of the work that our conference committee did well into the night on Saturday night. And I will say this, fellow senators, we did not mark any funds that will take care of our schools going forward, but this will. And that is an expenditure, Mr. Vice President, that we have to make. It doesn't matter where it comes out of, but this takes care of the major maintenance of those 420 buildings out across the state in terms of our school facilities. To me, that's a positive. There are a couple other positives that we really haven't spoken of. The senator from the East touched on the fact that these projects will indeed put people to work. But the thing I like about it, all those months that we spent on appropriations looking at all this stuff, this puts all of those projects that we have committed to in the past, it puts them in the rearview mirror, Mr. Vice President. These are shovel-ready projects that we committed to a long time ago. The nice part is this takes care of all of them. We get these onward and upward, and we come down here a year from now, those of us who have that privilege, and there isn't anything that we've committed to beyond that. And that's some of the things that I like about this bill, is being able to put these projects out there, put people to work. They're projects that are worthwhile. I came to learn over the last couple of days that a general contractor from our state is going to be building the hospital and the good senator in front of me in his hometown. That's good news. That's good news for our state. So on and in favor of the bill, Mr. Vice President, thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion on House Bill 194? Seeing none. Senator, Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Mr. Vice President, just to come back, and I just wanted to answer a couple things. And we talked about that. I think we are, if we had all had our way, we would have spent a little bit differently. I think that our Joint Appropriations Committee did a good job. If it was up to the Senate, I think our budgets and our CapCon bills would look a little bit different. But this is a bicameral institution, and it's sometimes our marriage with the bicameral institution is rocky. Sometimes our marriage with the bicameral institution is great, and so we are having some disagreements on the other side. So at the end of the day, we have to meet in the middle and compromise, try to get the best that we can moving forward. But as we look at this, I just want to point out a couple of things. I went back and looked at our goldenrod with respect to this budget bill. And this budget bill actually appropriates really not quite $40 million of additional money. But yet it releases and authorizes the construction of over $300 million of construction around the state of Wyoming. That construction will be done, should be done at least three-quarters to two-thirds by Wyoming contractors and Wyoming people. The people in Wyoming will have a chance to bid on those for both materials and to provide contracts as well as subcontract services. Majority of the workers on those will be Wyoming workers. And as we look where that goes, we have the state hospital. If you've been to the state hospital, you know it's time to redo the state hospital. if you've been to the WLRC, and particularly when you understand the plan that happens and the organization that's going to happen at the state hospital as part of that reconstruction, the WLRC is an essential component of that spending and doing that. We're going to provide some with mostly federal funds that have been appropriated by our Congress. We're going to build some additional and needed training and armory spaces for our National Guard people. We're going to create matches in community colleges and have significant building in community colleges that are out there all over Wyoming. We're going to bring matches from local sources, including private enterprises and donations from generous individuals to help build our community colleges. And so when we look at that, it's an important function. And with the reduction that we've had in school construction over the years, that construction sector is hurting. If you've talked in your districts, you know what your engineers, you know what your bricklayers, you know what your HVAC contractors, you know what those guys are going through and how they're struggling. And so ultimately, like I said, it would have been a little bit different, but I think that as we look at this bill and the fact that the vast majority of this money is either coming from matching sources from the federal government or from money we've already saved specifically for these purposes, and we've saved it and it's now time to release that and let that go forward, I hope that we can support this bill and move it forward. I remember at my first year of law school, the first week of law school, they had a dinner and a great former senator from Wyoming, a longtime lawyer of Wyoming, came and talked to us. He said, you know, a good compromise is one where both sides are unhappy. So if you walk out of here and you're a little unhappy with this bill, the other side is a little bit unhappy with the bill, it probably means it's a pretty decent compromise. And, Mr. Vice President, that's certainly how I feel. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I consider that your first time speaking. Does anybody else want to speak on House Bill 194? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do adopt the Joint Conference Committee Number 2 report, reference House Bill 194, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Co-excused Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll excused. Ellis excused. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert excused. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout excused. Nethercott? No to aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 194, Joint Conference Committee 2, 16 aye, 9 no, 5 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Report Number 2, reference House Bill 194. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I think we can work on Senate File 74.
Thank you. You have Mr. Vice President, Senate File 74. We have a veto message from the Governor. Mr. President, pursuant to Article 4, Section 8 of the Wyoming Constitution, I move that the Senate reconsider the Senate Enrolled Act Number 74, Critical Infrastructure
Enrolled Act. It's Enrolled Act.
Excuse me, Enrolled Act 65. Enrolled Act 65 being original Senate File 74, and override the veto of Senate File 74.
You've heard the motion. The motion requires a 2/3 vote to override the veto. Is there any discussion? Question having been called. Senator Hicks.
Clarification, a yes means to override the veto, and a no means to let the veto stand, correct?
You're one step ahead of me, Senator Hicks. If you're asked to vote aye, I would override the governor's veto. No would be to agree with the governor's veto. Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Co-excused Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll excused. Ellis excused. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert excused. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Meyer, where?
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye.
Meyer?
No. President Bebout excused. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 74, 20 aye, 5 no, 5 excused.
By your vote, the motion to override the veto of Senate File 74 has passed. Do we have any further? The Senate will stand at ease to the sound of the gavel.
There's one other override. Did you want to proceed on the other override?
Which override would that be? 116?
Yes.
116, we can do that. Mr. Would you please read it in? Do we have that?
Did you dismiss us? Do you need to call us back?
We're called. The Senate come back to order?
Okay.
That was quick. Is Senator Meyer here? Senator. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Pursuant to Article 4, Section 8 of the Wyoming Constitution, I move that Senate reconsider Senate Enrolled Act 62, being original Senate File 116, to override the veto of Senate File 116, and ask the body to vote aye.
Further discussion on Senate File 116.
So by the vote, no.
You've been asked to vote no. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Vice President, the change that he made I don't think is a bad change. I think we should have caught it that they wouldn't be appointed by the governor. So I don't think there's any problem with his veto.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Vice President, I've got a question. I need either an answer from an attorney here or a ruling by the chair. My understanding of the governor's power for line item veto only applies to those bills that have appropriations, plural, attached to it. So I don't understand how he can legally put a line item veto on this particular bill. It doesn't have more than one appropriation attached to it. So I'd like a ruling from the chair or some explanation, please.
Senator Burns, does it say I have signed or I am not about to sign or I won't sign? What is it exactly? I have signed.
I'm sorry?
So, Senator Burns, it does say I have signed, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, Senator Burns, I really can't explain how this is happening since he's signed it. Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Vice President, this is frankly in a gray area. The governor cannot use the excuse there's an appropriation in a bill to veto items of substance elsewhere in the bill. I think that's pretty well established, and it'd be a mistake to ever let that happen. That would force us to put all appropriations in a separate bill rather than including them with the bill that they belong to. And it would open us to all kinds of mischief with large bills. This one, however, the appropriation is in the appropriation section of the bill. And he clearly has line item veto on an appropriation. And in this case, the issue is what's the purpose of the appropriation? It's in the same subparagraph as the appropriation. So you can make a case that the governor hasn't violated the Constitution and what he can appropriately line item. It really is in a gray area. And frankly, he's caught it just plain oversight.
Further discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. And on that point, it's my understanding, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, perhaps the tall senator from Paterno County, but that hasn't been decided either way in court, that the interpretation has always been that it requires a plurality of appropriations for that pen to work. But that is simply an interpretation, and the courts have not upheld that, so there's nothing definitive on that other than that's the way it's been done.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer, are you just getting comfortable back there?
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, seeing none, you have heard the motion. The motion requires Senator Case.
Well, since we're not doing anything else, Mr. Chairman. But,
get the little red book out.
So it used to be the tradition, of course, that the governor only exercised his line item veto authority on the actual budget bill with its multiple appropriations. This evolved, and the governor's exercised veto authority somewhat successfully. We've never beat it back on the line item on other bills. It wasn't this governor that started that. Another governor also exercised veto authority on a constitutional amendment, and there was much disagreement about whether they could do that. The legislature definitely, though, has lost power relative to the executive branch in these areas. But he still did a good thing on this one.
So you've heard the motion. The motion requires a two-third vote to override the veto. You've been asked to vote no. No further discussion. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
Co-excused. Dockstader?
No.
No. Driscoll excused. Ellis excused. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert excused. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
President Bebout excused. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 116, 25 no, 5 excused.
By your vote, the motion to override the veto of Senate file 116 has failed. Has failed. Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Mr. Vice President, privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
I'm not sure if I have to have a point of order first. I think Senator Meyer is eating part of the cookie before we sing the happy birthday song to Judy.
Oh.
He has his hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah, power. Down.
So can the singing senator help us out with the happy birthday song? And Judy, can you come on out? It's your birthday.
Sparks. All right.
There she is.
Peterson.
Everybody stand. Are you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Judy. Happy birthday to you. Oh, I love that harmony. Cookies for everyone.
Hey, Judy, this, I will say for the Senate, this is the first time we've been here for your birthday,
yes,
this late in session, which is all somebody else's fault. Thank you. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Just for clarification, I won't confirm nor deny that this late session was for this birthday party.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have anything?
No, sir.
I think we'll stand at ease to the sound of the gavel.
Cookies!
Cookies!
Cookie, cookie.